This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome along to the Saturday fun
dance
fest here.
Class.
Yes. Yeah, Charlie's doing a little dance. We have been trying to perfect the bird calls that I, on Thursday, Shirley and I went to the St. Jacob's Farmers Market, and as we were entering, and boy, what a fabulous place that is, honest to be.
Huge, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. But anyway, there's a guy sitting there at a table, and he's selling these little, they're ceramic little birds. Yours is a wise old owl. Mine's kind
makes
of a chicken.
Makes total sense to me.
And, yeah, and you're blowing these things. Oh, see, it's not... Oh, there you go.
I'm going to take this out in my back garden and call birds.
I know.
I mean, I already have hundreds back there. Maybe I'll get thousands.
This is the big purchase that I made for you,
this
Charlie.
This is great. Thank you. I like the fact that it's a wise owl. It
yes,
just totally
of
speaks to my heart.
So we've been sitting here driving everybody crazy.
I know.
I tried to play it earlier in the day, and Bob Shepard in the newsroom. Jeez, Frank, you're going to have all the dogs in the neighborhood over here.
That's
anyway.
Right. Yeah, no more bells. Maybe we'll do whistles for your garden wings.
All right.
Whistles.
We better get down to business here. We are going to be. Charlie is going to be answering questions, all right? And here are the numbers to contact Charlie and get on the air and ask your question. 416-360-0740 here in Toronto and anywhere else in the province, toll free at 1-866-740-4740. Call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first time caller, please let Sebastian know, our operator, and when we get to get you on the air, just before that, you'll get your garden wings. There you are.
There you are.
All right, Charlie, what's going on there?
Oh, I've just been getting all kinds of email.
Oh, no kidding.
Which is good. I mean, people are asking great questions.
Yeah.
Good. This is a good opportunity. Frank will give my email address if you want to grab a pencil and send a note. A good example was a gentleman who heard one of my little short vignettes that are played during the week.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of the story of the rules of design when redesigning a garden. And
okay.
he goes, I kind of caught what you were saying, but I didn't catch the whole thing. So I copy and pasted the script and sent it to him. So because he said he's doing some redesign at his cottage. So, yeah, you know, don't hesitate to follow up if something hasn't been clear. Podcasts are available for this show, of course.
Yeah.
So you can always re-listen to the show.
Probably about after Wednesday. It's
yeah, it takes
be
a couple
on.
Days to be on online, but they're there. There's 10 years of podcasts. So
that's right.
There's like tons of great information, not to mention some good giggles, because, you know, Frank always keeps us giggling. And but the vignettes, not so much. So that's why I was happy to just copy and paste. So remember, through the podcast, it's just AM 740 website. Go to podcasts and then go to The Garden Show and then pick one.
Pick the date you want.
All right. So why don't you do my email? And
your email address? Absolutely. Sure.
Some email.
If you want to get a hold of Charlie by email, here it is. C.Dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. And you have one of those in your hand right now.
Oh, I have tons. But there was one here. So remember last week I mentioned one of our listeners, Rosemary Bowman, suggested using fox urine mixed with bone meal as a deterrent for squirrels.
Yep.
Somebody else wrote in and said, just make sure you're upwind when you are applying urine. So there's another little tip from one of our listeners.
Very good.
And, couple of things going on. Again, we're we're coming down to the end of things like the free summer music series at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. Mm-hmm. This Thursday is the last one, 7 p.m. Wonderful week coming of cooler weather. Boy, I thought I was in a tropical rainforest for the last few days. It has just been so thick and so humid and so hard to even breathe and move outside. So now we're cooling off. We're getting some clearer, fresher air. So get outside, get out into the action, grab what's the next few weeks. Of course, mm-hmm. the CNE is open now, and there's lots of people there heading in there this morning. So at the TBG, which is, of course, as you know, at the corners of Leslie and Lawrence, farmers markets are going big time. You mentioned St. Jacob's Market, which has special summer hours, a special day. They're open, I guess, on Thursday.
They're open through the summer on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays.
And then as well, the regular days, Thursday and Saturday, right. And that's throughout the year.
So they add on an extra day for the summer. So again, grab those opportunities. And to mark in your calendar, September the 8th, coming up at the Agent Court Garden Club, a very large annual flower, vegetable, and design competition. So this is designed as a drop-in between 2 and 4:30 p.m. at the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. That's in Agent Court. Mm-hmm. This event is free and open to the public. There are 114 different categories. The Garden Club members enter with the best of the best of their homes and gardens, including but not restricted to cut annual flowers, cut perennial flowers, roses, branches and vines, potted plants, fruits and vegetables, collections, basket classes, and design classes, all of which are judged. And this is, you know, that competition that happens. You know how the gardeners are the nicest people in the world, but boy, do they like to compete. So this is a very fun, you know, put your dukes up and go to it with your best of your best. There is a tea room on site for refreshments and home baking as well.
All righty. Going to hold that information. Thank you for that, Charlie. And we'll be along to say hi to our callers on this gorgeous Saturday morning. If folks have not down the basement trying to bail out, we'll talk about that later. Southampton's going to be where we're heading very, very shortly to have a word with Peter right after these words here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie has her earphones all wound up. Oh, you unwound there? Not completely.
I'm just not plugged in.
You're not, well.
I'll pretend I can hear what you're saying, but I can't.
I'll remember that. That's a quote. I'm not plugged in. All right. Let's go to. I got to get you plugged in. Otherwise, you're not going to hear from Peter in Southampton. There.
All right. I'm plugged
in. All right.
I'm still
okay,
tangled, though. It's bugging me. I hate this.
Peter, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great show.
Thank you.
Great 10 years.
Well, yeah, no, thank you so much.
This winter, we had up here, winters are terrible. So my lawn needed repairing. Mm-hmm. So I went through the usual new grass, earth and everything, mm-hmm. put down grass seed. Mm-hmm. The grass seed came up great. Mm-hmm. Everything was fine. Then I noticed some bare patches mm-hmm. around the middle of June. So I did the same thing, put down some grass seed, kept it wet, and the grass seed didn't grow. So I thought, well, it must be the grass seed. So I did the same thing over again. New grass seed, kept it wet, didn't grow.
Hmm.
What happened?
So how much sun is getting into that particular area?
Like how much what?
How many hours of sunlight are in that area?
It gets all day sun.
All right, so it's very open and exposed. I would suggest it's the grass seed blend that you're choosing, because remember there's a million of them out there, mixes and blends. When you're you probably have a fairly large property, I assume.
Well, it's just the ordinary 65 by 125.
Oh, okay. And no trees causing a lot of shading anywhere?
No.
Okay. Because, there's what they call the grass seed blends, which are called high traffic areas or mm-hmm. boulevard mixes or shade tolerant. And, there's all the sort of different things, sort of blends we can choose. But at the end of the day, if you're still having issues with growing just regular good quality grass seed, I would recommend trying something that is put together by a company called Wildflower Farms. So I'm going to have to quickly look this up. I think it's called Eco.
Oh, they're up in Barrie?
Actually Orillia, close to Orillia.
Yeah, well, I tried those.
Oh, did you?
I tried those, and I went big time with them when they first started coming out with it. And no, that grass just sort of grew high and very fine.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Like a very fine bent grass.
Right. And so, that's kind of one of the claims to fame of the Eco Lawn is that you don't have to mow it. So
yeah.
It is a bit of a floppy thing. It's not the manicured look that you might be looking for. So,
and it didn't last.
Okay. So tell me about the lawn seed, the grass seeds that you purchased. Did you get quality stuff? Where did you buy it from?
I bought the bulk seed from Home Hardware. They get their seed from a seed company in Harrison, mm-hmm. Ontario. Mm-hmm. And the seed that I used was something about watering, deep root or something.
Oh, deep root, like epiphytic stuff or whatever.
Yeah, so
it.
Anyway, that was what I used in the spring, mm-hmm. and it came up great. And
but
then when I applied it in the middle of June, towards the end of June, kept it moist. It didn't grow.
Didn't grow at all.
So then I went and bought some CIL grass seed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
I put
experience.
That down. Same thing.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest that perhaps the issue, you said you top dressed, so you put down some fresh soil and you gave the seeds a nice base.
Yes.
When you sprinkled the seed out there, whether you were patching bare patches or trying to thicken up your lawn, you made a real effort when you broadcast the seed to then go over with a fan rake to make sure that the seed is down in contact with the soil. Very important. Then, as you said, you kept it moist, not wet, but moist, so it might be out there every day. Optimal times for growing grass from seed or lawn from seed is the fall. Like, we're totally coming into the optimal time now. The soil is nice and warm, the, you know, crisp, clear air, great sunshine. So don't give up. Again, do get a quality grass seed. You know, you get what you pay for. So get a quality grass seed blend that's for your situation, full sun, whatever the case may be, and do it again. But wait a couple of weeks. Wait till early September, and I think you'll find you'll have better success.
Okay. Now, can I mention one other thing?
Mm-hmm.
Nematodes.
Yes.
Last year, I always bought my nematodes from Home Hardware.
Yes.
And last year, I went to Home Hardware and I bought them, and they said they don't have to be refrigerated
anymore.
Right. So I said, okay. So I bought them, applied them, and this spring, my lawn wasn't dug up, but there was holes in it all over. And so
it means there's still grubs.
So at your advice, I phoned NIC.
Right.
And I talked to the fellow and gave him my story.
Yeah.
And he said he heard that too. So he went out and he went to Home Hardware and bought some unrefrigerated nematodes, took them home, put them under the microscope, and they were dead.
They were dead.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, there you go. I'm going to do a little more research on that because that question came up last week as well, and I'm not positive what the answer is. So thank you for that. I agree. It makes sense to me. They should. You want them alive. Those are eggs that should be dormant, and keeping them refrigerated will keep them dormant. So thanks for bringing that up, Peter. We'll have more on that, I'm sure, to come.
Okay, let us know later on how that works into the fall with your grass. Okay.
Okay, great.
All righty.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Let's go to cottage country. Okay. Bob Cajun.
Let's go to cottage country.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Bob Cajun, great little town.
Nice.
And there's Lorraine. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Excellent.
Yeah. That caller before was great news to me, too, because I'm in the process of trying to dig up twitch grass.
Mm. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Nobody envies you.
It's taken over my lawn.
Because you know what? Well, what I think of twitch grass is quack grass. It's got runners.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever it touches down, it roots. And if you attempt to dig it up and leave even a microscopic piece behind, it will grow.
Is there any other solution but digging?
Not really. I mean, so it's all through your lawn, or is it kind of in patches?
It's in patches, but it's spreading and spreading.
Mm-hmm, it will. I mean, you have two options, and we've talked about this in the past. The idea of the dark plastic tarpaulin to kill everything beneath the tarpaulin. So that's you mow as low as you can. You get out some dark plastic sheeting.
Weighted down.
It's got to be all weighted down, particularly on the edges, whether with soil or rocks or wood, no light underneath. 4 to 8 months later, you lift that tarpaulin and what's beneath should be completely dead from suffocation and solarization.
So it's sterile,
yep,
basically.
Soil is, and all the worms and stuff have gotten away because it was way too hot under there, but the plants are dead. The other thing is Roundup. Roundup, it can be very effective, not so much at this time of year, but earlier in the season. In the spring, younger, fresh growth of noxious weeds can be controlled with Roundup, but Roundup is non-selective, so it will kill anything that you spray. So you have to be very careful what you spray, because what you spray will die. But like I said, it works best on young plants as opposed to this time of year plants.
Oh, all right.
All right. Wish I had better.
So if I put the tarp down now, the plastic tarp, and lay it for the winter, would that work as well?
Yes, exactly. That's why I said 4 to 8 months. So you have to leave it, do it now, leave it over the winter, wait until we've got some good heat happening next late spring, early summer before you lift. And you should see no life. If you see any life, put the tarp back on.
And where do you get this plastic?
Oh, so that's just, Home Hardware, Canadian Tire, whatever. That everybody sells tarps. The darker the color, the better. Because that way you've got that high heat absorption. Higher heat absorption than a light-colored tarp.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Lorraine.
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Let us know. Like I said, nobody envies you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Even though we envy you living in Bob Cajun.
Yeah, true. Hey, we have to take a little bit of a break here. There we go. I will get the bell out now. Would you stop?
I'm giving you some background, ambiance.
I see. Oh, all right. As the bird tweets, and we had to do
totally
a little commercial break. I'll say hi in moments to a first-time caller here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
She's... still going.
We have birds in the studio.
Yes, we do. Dodo birds, I think.
No, wise owls.
Yes, okay. Hey, that's for Lee, a first-time caller in Mississauga. Good morning, Lee. Welcome to the show.
Good morning to a beautiful show. I've been listening to you over and over, and even sometimes when I'm in Jamaica, I try to get you because the distortion affects us, especially in the winter times when I go down.
Anyhow,
I won't be long with you. Boy, you got some voices there. Oh, they are second to none.
Thank you.
Oh, same 740. It's a beautiful station. It tells you a variety of things about medicine, about gardening, and even about the atmosphere. I don't know when you'll be going to outer space, but you will be here with us.
Well, thank you.
There you go. We're a lifestyle kind of place. We're all purpose. We cover it all.
Yeah. A problem with ants and flies around the garden and sometimes on the step. You had mentioned 2 weeks ago there are certain things that you use. I don't know what chemical are like. Figure speech is, say, maybe you may say Vaseline, you put on the ground. But that's not what your actual word was. So what is it that you can put down that this ants take it back to the nest and then they all destroy them?
Okay,
you had spoken about it about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
It's very simple. It's available at any Home Depot, Canadian Tire, Garden Center. So there's out there you can find ant traps. So the traps are a little metal canister and you punch the holes out of the sides. Inside the trap is usually some like peanut butter kind of a bait, But there's also boric acid, and it's the boric acid that kills the ants back in the nest. So just outside, you'll find it simple to just put a couple of ant traps where you see the trails of ants. Like, always intercept wherever, because you'll see them. They're very busy. They're very militaristic in the way they move. You'll see the little trail. So just stick those little traps every 5 feet or so along the trail. But even sort of faster acting, it from the same retailers, you can find on the same shelf a little bottle, and it's called Ant Killer. And all Ant Killer is, it's a liquid, liquefied boric acid with sugar mixed in. So a few little drops of that, again, along the ant trail. And, you know, put a just not big piles, just a few little drops, and wait 10 minutes, come back, and you'll find all the ants are sipping at the drops you've dropped. So it's like you've set up a little ant bar, and they're all happily lapping up all those little liquid drops, and again, taking it back to feed the young in the nest and the queen in the nest, and ultimately they die.
There you go. Wow.
It does work. It's not instant. There's no instant ant fix. I've said this before, right? The best we can do is drive them off the property to our neighbors or right. somewhere we don't really want them on our property. Yeah. But yeah, you can certainly lower the populations with things like Ant Killer or ant traps.
Yeah, let us know how that works for you, Lee, okay?
That goes with the flies to you. What about the sprays for flies?
Well, what kind of flies? These are outside or inside?
Outside.
What kind of flies? Like just kind of house flies kind of flies?
There are big flies because they will go around the garbage bin sometimes. You'll see the big ones there, and they can be a nuisance sometimes where the garbage bin is.
That's
before
right.
we put out the garbage. You know, there are certain times, you have the blue box and the green box.
Yeah. So they are very, very attracted to anything decomposing. So unfortunately, or fortunately, beautiful day today. Get out the hose, get out some soapy water, scrub the garbage can, scrub the blue bins, clean them up so they're all shiny and pristine, and you will not see any flies. Because
okay.
that's what they're coming to. That's, they're coming to debris that's been left over the years.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Lee, and thank you for the nice words about the station.
Could I get this tape from you? I don't mind buying it.
The which? Sorry?
The tape. Could I buy the tape off you that you do the program that you're just speaking on to me right now or other program?
Oh, no. You don't
it's
have
on
to,
the web.
It's on, if you...
Do you have access to the internet?
I'm computer illiterate, but I can tell you 16 squared is 256 and 19 squared is 361 at the age of 18.
All right. All you have to do is go to AM740 or Zoomer Radio.
Yeah, it'll, website.
The website, and you go for podcast. That's P-O-D-cast. Podcast.
Bob Cajun podcast.
Yeah, there you go. And you'll be able to select the garden show. The garden show and the date.
Listen at your convenience, right?
Yep.
It's just you need a computer, obviously, with speakers or a headphone attachments, you know, some kind of a way to listen to your computer. And then we can keep you company while you're out in the garden or doing your dishes, whatever you're doing.
Okay, thank you very much, Lee, for giving us a call here.
Thank you.
And being a first-time caller, too, might I say.
Yeah. Don't be a stranger.
You betcha. Flora in Coburg is next on the line. Good morning, Flora.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Can you please clear the coast with Greek oregano? I had called you last year about my purslane, what was happening to it last year.
Yep.
Now, my purslane and my mint grew so well, and I added another company, Greek oregano.
Yes.
And I did my homework on Google, and it says you should cut it before it flowers in spring. I just planted it in spring.
Right. No. When it's brand new plant, you don't really do anything to brand new plantings. Because that first, when we first plant anything, particularly long-term perennial plants, it's all about roots. We just want the plants to get established, get some roots down, so we don't fiddle and diddle, we don't fertilize, we just let them do their thing. Assuming you've planted into a reasonably good soil, well-drained, lots of sun, that's the main thing. Just let it get settled in for this season. If it's sprawling all over the place, you could do some cutting back now. But otherwise, I would let it be. The reason you cut it down in the spring is because you want to encourage it to be a bushy plant as opposed to a real scraggly plant. So that's the thinking behind that spring pruning.
A friend told me cut it before it when it flowers.
Right. Well, usually when we're growing Greek oregano, it's for the leaves rather than the flower. So that's why we want to get on to doing our cutting back just as flower buds are starting to set. We try to not allow those to grow, because once you get flowers, then that's at the expense of the leaves.
Because it says if it flowers, it alters the taste.
That's right.
The thing is, it also says to dry it by hanging it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it in the old style. I put it like a, you know, the paper that my husband paints cars, mm-hmm. or what is it called? Wax.
Yeah.
I wash a couple of times and I put it on the floor to dry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's fine. Yeah, yeah, you can. When people are doing large scale herb growing and harvesting, they'll mm-hmm. often be, you know, chopping like all day, and they'll have bunches and bunches of different herbs and flowers, mm-hmm. and they'll tie the bunches and then hang them in an open, airy, could be mm-hmm. a barn, could be a screen porch, whatever. But it's the idea is you want to get them out of the sun, but into a well aerated situation, so they will dry without, you know, getting all mildewy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Flora.
Thanks. All right. Thanks
all
for
right.
calling.
Have a great weekend. Thank you for being with us here on Zoomer Radio.
Yeah.
Marilyn in Seaforth, Ontario. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Great. Excellent. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a problem with my hostas.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the dry weather. The edges of the leaves got real brown
crispy.
And dried out.
Yep. Yeah.
And I was wondering, is it okay to cut them off?
You can, but are you having a garden tour come through your garden?
No.
You hosting a wedding?
No.
Because what I would do is, I mean, unless you... If they're still green on a leaf, I like to leave the leaves.
Okay.
When the leaf is completely yellow or 99% yellow, then yes, I remove. But if there's green tissue still there, that leaf is still doing something to support the plant in terms of photosynthesis.
Okay.
Unless I had, like I said, a wedding or a garden tour, then I'd be out there being very, very meticulous. No yellow, no brown. Remember, too, we're in the middle of August or you know, third week of August. So we're coming to the end of the season. So many of the leaves on many of our plants are a bit tattered after this season, whether
yeah.
it's mildews or insects or windstorms or hail or rain deluges. Mm. The leaves are suffering, but they're all going to be fresh again next spring, right? It's a whole new world next spring. So I wouldn't panic about leaves that are a bit unsightly right now. If they're still green in them, leave them alone.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're
thanks
welcome,
for
Marilyn.
That's
thanks
my,
for...
my lecture on green leaves.
Hey, here's our old friend from White River. Getting the bird whistle
and
now.
And we got the birds coming in to say good hello to Rick.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. You guys?
Good morning.
We're fine.
You sure okay?
I think so. We're having too much fun, though.
Okay.
All right.
I got dahlia bulbs.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
They're still growing.
I would hope so. You haven't had a frost, have you?
No, don't say that. Soon enough. But you talked about fertilizing.
Mm-hmm.
So should I still fertilize the plants or what? Because lots of bulbs, lots of buds.
Good question. Yes. In the case of your dahlias, are they in pots or are they in the ground?
Yeah, pots.
Okay. So in the case of dahlias, in the case of any of our annual plants, all right, so whether it's herbs or vegetables or flowering flowers, annual flowers, it's okay to keep fertilizing those so we can maximize our bounty, our harvest, our beauty
yeah.
right up until the end of the season. However, once we do get a frost, keeping your dahlias outside, they are going to just collapse yeah. after the first frost. So at that point, dormancy is enforced on your dahlias. And of course, you're going to want to keep those tubers. So once that first frost happens, you'll clean up all that debris that is mush, and you'll start drying down those tubers to overwinter them in a frost-free environment so you're back in business next spring with them. But sure, if they're covered in buds, why not? Encourage them to keep going.
Oh, it's a great year. Gladiolus, just beautiful.
Is that right?
Well, that's
good.
Super.
You've probably had quite a lot of heat. It's been a hot, hot summer in southern Ontario.
It was up here, too.
Yeah. Did you get any rain at all, or are you struggling?
A few days of rain, but not too much.
I know. Most of the rain's been down here.
Well,
there's forest fires all
yes.
out of control. None around you, I guess, though, eh?
Well, either here and there.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's We hope we get rain.
Yeah, you are. I bet you've got fingers crossed for rain. Because, yeah, it's really been concentrated south of the Great Lakes. It's just not been north.
There's things called blueberries.
Yeah. Good year for those?
Yes.
I bet.
Yeah.
You'd be fighting off the bears to get those.
Well, maybe. They started bear hunting now, so...
Oh, did they? Oh, they're culling bears?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Hey, okay. Rick, thank you so much.
Yeah. Take it easy.
You betcha. As we say goodbye to Rick, that leaves actually two lines open now. Here are the phone numbers. In Toronto, to reach Charlie, call 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And John in Mississauga, you're going to be next on the air. Along with the bird whistle and Charlie Dobbin on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, here saying good morning to John in Mississauga. Hi, John.
Good morning. How you doing, Frank?
Good.
Morning, John.
I don't mind the bird's whistle, but I really hate the squirrels, my friend.
Oh, how can you hate squirrels? They're just rodents.
I'm going to say it public. Charlie, if I tell you, I even wrote it down because otherwise I forget.
Okay.
What I did is this. I have a mixture spray, which I got from the computer, which I think with peppers and what you call it, vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
I hanged shears around the tree.
Uh-huh.
I sprayed the branches.
Uh-huh.
I put coffee grind.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like nothing deters them, none whatsoever. So, yeah. As you know, I think I sent you pictures a couple years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the fruit was going to be the best ever in 4 to 4 years that I've been doing this.
And?
Charlie, I don't even have one bombanel on the tree.
What? They stole them all?
If I have a chance, I'm going to tell my son-in-law to see if he can send you the picture of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Not of the tree itself, of the ground. They did, I'm telling you, I'm so... How to call it? I don't know. Upset.
Angry.
Yeah.
Angry. Every time I go there, and sometimes, Charlie, believe me, I'm cleaning it, and they're up in the tree eating, and it'll even disturb
them. They're looking at you.
You take one bite and throw them down,
yeah.
Don't they?
Okay. So, after all this, after I said my story, I heard you last Saturday we were on the way to Niagara on the lake. We went to the Peach Festival. Mm. And I heard you saying somebody suggested, and I laughed a little bit to tell you the truth, about... fox urine and bone meal.
Yeah.
Where the heck you get that stuff from?
Well, bone meal you can get from any garden center.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I have that.
You know
where
you get
bone meal?
Fox urine, you get that from any of the hunting and fishing places.
Some probass?
Right, probass should have. Yep, they should have it. I can Google it right now if you want. But yeah, fox urine. I remember a friend of mine using it when he was planting bulbs. And this is in Ottawa. And the same thing. He was so frustrated that he'd be out there in the fall placing these tulip and various bulbs in beautiful designs. And then, of course, the squirrels would come along and rearrange everything. And it drove him crazy. So he started in like putting drops of fox urine into each planting hole as he put the bulbs
in. Boy, they don't want to go there.
And the squirrels do not like fox urine. They don't know what a fox is, but they don't want to be close to it.
It's true, Charlie, but they don't. Look, I even put, what you call it here, coffee grind. I did everything imagine. And believe me, I have quite a few trees at the back, even my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I'm so frustrated.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, give that a shot.
But what do? You put in a spray? I sprayed all my fence, four sides of the fence. I sprayed the branches. So I don't know how much, because I don't want to spend any more. Oh, by the way, I forgot. I hope I'm not keeping you, but I forgot to tell you. I even bought three, electronic devices.
Oh, yeah, the high-pitched sonar thing.
You're supposed to buzz them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the next trip you got to take
maybe
is
you
to
a
the
dog.
Bass Pro and
but maybe
pick up
you
some...
just need like a large, you know, whippet or something that's faster than the squirrels and can just
yeah
grab them out of the air. Like you know, I just wonder that sometimes when pests are driving us crazy, we try to protect. So mm-hmm. we think of netting and we think of fencing and caging to protect, which often is tough with squirrels. We also think of repellents, so that's where we get into the soaps and the urines and the smelly uh-huh. stuff. And then other than that, we think about, yeah, shotguns and yeah. large
yeah,
dogs, right?
believe me, I thought about that, to be honest with you, but I don't have one.
Well, I see here you can get fox urine on Amazon. There's a huge selection and great prices. Amazon.
Okay, but do you spray, Charlie, yeah. on the branches and all that?
Yep, you got to spray where you do not want those squirrels to come. So
well, I tell you, my son-in-law lives in Woodbridge, and I'm going to tell him to stop. And he comes on Sunday, and I'm going to tell him to stop and get me some.
There
all
you
right.
go.
And you know what, John? Have you tried this product called Plant Skid? Plant
okay, I have a pen here. Plant.
Yeah, the word plant.
Oh yes.
And then same word. S as in Sam.
Yes.
K as in kite.
Yeah.
Y as in yellow.
Yeah.
D as in dog.
Yeah.
And another D as in dog. So Plant Skid. Available
Plant Skid.
At any yeah. garden center. It's completely organic, effective for up to 6 months, repels all kinds of yeah. creatures.
John, I'm sorry, we have to kind of move
okay.
along
it's
here.
It's okay, Frank. Don't worry. Yeah. Thanks very much, guys. I appreciate
luck.
It. And have a good day.
You
well,
too.
Thank you so very much.
Think and about the birds.
We are right up to our we're up to our next break here. And George is online from St. Catharines. We will get to you, George. You hang tight there for The Garden Show and Charlie Dobbin here on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
My job. I forgot my job. I was too busy.
Charlie's looking over at me, and all of a sudden I'm looking back. Turn on the mics, Charlie.
That's your job. That's the only thing I have to do here is turn on the mics, right?
George in St. Catharines. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, kids. How are you?
Morning.
Good, thanks.
Good, good. Last time I called up was about trees. Mm-hmm. Some 14-foot spruces were going in. Mm-hmm. They've gone in. The boss is happy.
Good.
So I guess I'm happy. I'd like to talk about trees again. Mm-hmm. I have, three specific types of trees that I need to trim, some mm-hmm. aggressively. Mm-hmm. And I want to know the timing. I have some 20-foot yews I want to... address the top of. I have some 10 to 15 foot pyramidal cedars, column cedars. Mm-hmm. I need to take the top off them to fill out the bottom. And I have some Japanese red maples. Mm. Those are about 12 feet tall, and I need to trim them on the top and the bottom. So
well, you're not,
my question is, when can I do it safely?
Okay. So you're not asking much here, George.
Yeah.
Hope you have your pencil out. And
I
this
do.
Is actually imperfect because I had an email from somebody named Janice, and her question was, I'm new to gardening and overwhelmed by the big bushes, a magnolia, lilac, etc. So when to prune and how much can I clip off and have a nice natural shape? So yes, pruning is a huge subject. There are massive textbooks written on this subject. So to give a very short synopsis on your particular situation, I can tell you this. The yews and the cedars are evergreens. All evergreens are typically pruned when they're actively growing. That is typically in your area early June, might be mid-June, depends what kind of a spring we're having. And the actively growing means that whatever pruning you do will be grown, those pruning cuts will be covered by new growth, which is why we do the pruning when they're actively growing so that they don't look really ugly and there's not brown stumps everywhere on the plants. The trick with your cedars and yews, but cedars particularly, you have to shape the pyramidal hedges in such a way that the top is narrower than the bottom of the hedge. Otherwise, the top is shading the bottom and the bottom is all bare and scraggly. Most of us, just because of the way our brains and our hands work, do it wrong. We have wide tops and narrow bottoms and naked stems at the base of our cedar hedges. So just ensure narrow at the top, wider at the bottom. One-third at the most of the plants is coming off at any one time. The Japanese maple, do not shear it the way you're going to shear your cedars. We don't give haircuts to Japanese maples. We selectively prune out branches that are growing in the wrong direction or crisscrossing or damaging other branches. If the plant is just huge and overgrown, then yes, again, we can selectively bring the plant back one branch at a time. This is a sculpture that must be maintained at its best form, and pruning Japanese maples is a skill unto itself. So stand back, look at the plant, slowly but surely work away one bit at a time. It might take you a couple hours.
Well, good luck in all of that, George.
Yeah.
Could you tell me on the maple what time of year that was?
Oh, that's just after the leaves have emerged. Usually, again, it's kind of not the heat of the summer. So you've got late spring for your Japanese maples, mid... Usually I'll do my Japanese maples right when the buds are clearly starting to grow and the deadwood is obvious. So right away, at first, all the deadwood comes out.
Okay. All righty. Thank you very much, George. Good
George
luck with all of that.
Fast.
Wow. Yeah, I know. Taking it all down now. There's a guy who can tune in the podcast.
That's
and
right.
Get
anybody
all
who wants that again, yes.
Right. Shelley in St. Catharines again. We're walking up St. Catharines. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks, George. You gave me some information I needed also.
Oh, good.
My question, Charlie, has to do with... Asiatic lilies and hostas.
Mm-hmm.
You have, after they've flowered and the flowers are gone, mm-hmm. when do you trim down the lilies and the hosta flowers? Is there a set time? Do you have to wait like you do for tulips and daffodils to let goodness go back down into the roots?
It went into the bulb. No, you're absolutely right. Just like the tulips and daffodils, lilies grow from a bulb. Hostas don't, but lilies do. The Asiatic lilies, yes, you can take off the dead flowers, and you should, once they're done, right up at the top of the plant, leave the green stems, leave the green leaves. Let them stay green as long as they're green, because they're fattening up the bulb for next year. Eventually, either frost or just weather is going to cause that whole stem and leaves to turn brown, and at that point, you can just chop off at ground level, but leave the Asiatic lilies as long as you can. Hostas, I take out the flowers. Generally, once the flowers are done, those empty little flower stems are standing there. Just down with your pruners, down into the leaves, cut out those stems. It cleans them up and makes them look just prettier.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. And if we have time here, well, we'll see how we get along
tight.
Here.
Okay.
Okay. Marilyn in Ancaster. We'll move along to you. Hi. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good morning.
That man who's having trouble with the squirrels,
mm-hmm.
I put knitting needles upside down.
Oh.
Oh.
And they had a hard time. They were very unhappy with me.
But where did you put the knitting needles?
Oh, I had them in pots. I had my hibiscus pots.
Right. Yeah, his
and
problem
they
is
kept
fruit
on
trees.
Just being mean and digging up. So I just put the needles in, and then I put mothballs.
Yeah,
mothballs.
It's the knitting needles. And you know what? I've done that with forks, plastic forks, into the pots.
That's,
and that does work.
Well,
but
plastic can break, though.
True. And knitting needles are strong.
Knitting needles. They did not like those points.
And sharp. So that's a good idea. Okay, knitting needles. But for John, that wouldn't work because he's got a...
No, not in tree. No.
So,
my problem is, I don't know if I've done right. I called you a while ago about my amaryllis.
Mm-hmm.
And I had three of them that were waxed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yep.
And so I washed them all off and cleaned them, and I potted them. I'm going to BC, so on Tuesday my car goes.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I cut down all the leaves off the amaryllis and took them out of the pot.
Okay.
They're loaded with roots.
Okay.
It was pot bound. There were three of them were pot bound.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrapped them in newspaper.
Okay.
And I put them in my car.
Okay, as long as they're not going to bake in your car.
Well, they're going to be on a train.
Oh.
The train's going out to BC.
Can you carry them with you instead of sending them in the train? Or how are you going? Are you flying?
I'm flying.
Oh.
Could you just stick them in your suitcase?
Them on the plane?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know what? They're more. It's going to be too hot, I'm afraid, in the car, on the train, for 3 or 5 days that it takes. They could bake. Anyway, got to go. We've got mere seconds here left. But what you did is perfect, other than that transport. Yep. Keep them as cool as you can. As soon as you get to your next location, pot them up again. Get them back into some soil, into some pots. Make sure they're still pot bound. They like small pots.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. And happy trails. Ancaster to BC. Lucky you. Okay, that's it. I'm done.
You're done.
And you're buying breakfast.
I know. Okay, dry toast for the lady. Thank
no,
you very much.
No, steak and eggs.
Oh, no.
We're off.
You can say we're off. Boy, I really mean it.
Thank you for this whistle. I love it.
Oh, I know. I'm living to regret it already.
Thank you, Sebastian. Thanks, all our great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.